Seeking the Lord's help, I venture to direct you now to a word that you will find in the 42nd and in the 43rd Psalm. Perhaps some of you have been anticipating what the text may be. Well, I will read verse 5 in Psalm 42. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And then we find in the 11th verse, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. These words are the words of a living soul, as it was with the psalmist. And how many times perhaps some of you have felt the strength and help of such a word as this: why art thou cast down, O my soul? And that, dear friends, indicates that there is life, because it speaks of the soul. But, as you know, many are cast down to die, not in their soul, but in the events of the world and of our nation. There's much, dear friends, to cast us down. But this word is spoken to a living soul. O my soul. Oh, there is much to cast down. There is much to cast Job down. My thought had been perhaps to have read the 136th Psalm, which every verse concludes with, for his mercy endureth forever. And here is the answer, dear friends, to this word: why art thou cast down, O my soul? For his mercy endureth forever. Oh, that is something for us to consider. His mercy endureth forever. Thus, a living soul has many things to cast them down. But there is one feature of casting down that a living soul knows, and that is the work and power of Satan. Oh, how bold Satan is. He knows that his time is sure. And many are cast down by Satan. Job was, wasn't he? Not only was he cast down, but his life was on a thread, as it were. Perhaps some of you have been there, and your life has been, as it were, on a thread or in a balance. And you've been cast down. And you're here this morning to give thanks to God, to be able to speak to others. I feel, dear friends, that one lacking today is that we do not communicate one with the other, especially on spiritual things. And what a silence there is about spiritual things. And sometimes I think that's the work of Satan. He doesn't want you to speak about the things of God. So, dear friends, how many of you here are cast down? How many times in your life have you been cast down? Oh, it would be probably thousands of times you have been cast down. And yet, you are favoured to be here this morning to thank God for His mercy. It is the same God of the psalmist here. It is the same God that Job speaks of. Job, as you know, was one of the oldest characters in the Word of God. And, what a terrible casting down that must have been when he heard the solemn news that his sons had gone and all his property, and he was a rich man, everything had gone, and his life was hanging on a thread. But you know, dear friends, there's one thing that Satan could not do. And God spoke to Satan that he could take away all that he had, but touch not his life. Oh, you know, how many have been through this, touch not his life. For your life is hid with Christ in God. Oh, there will be many things to cast down, but where there is a casting down, there is a lifting up. There is deliverance. The Lord has made and can make a way of escape. Ye may be able to bear it. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? I say, dear friends, that this is a living soul. And I repeat that sadly there is so much to cast us down, and many people are cast down today because of what's happening in our nation and in the world. But this is to a soul, this is to a living soul. Mr. Frank Gosden used to say something like this: the world knows that you've got a body, but they don't know that they've got a soul. And you see, dear friends, the soul of a living, a child of God, seeks to praise Him. You want to honour Him. You want to give glory to Him. Is that your exercise? Was that your exercise early in the way, that you would seek to glorify God? You wanted to serve Him and to honour Him and to thank Him? The Lord knows. The Lord knows. And Satan seeks to dishonor God. And he uses means. You know, dear friends, I had not thought to read or have read for me that chapter in Job. But one thing, Job was disturbed with dreams in the night. And you know, dear friends, sometimes Satan can disturb your mind with dreams in the night. We know in the Word of God that dreams are very important. Such as Joseph had dreams were to be fulfilled. But Satan does often use that tool, as it were, that time in the night watches when you may be asleep and you may be disturbed by dreams. And it casts you down. It worries you. It makes you feel unwell. You're cast down. And all this word, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And here the psalmist is looking back. He looks back to those times when he said, therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. Now, dear friend, may the Lord and bring us a remembrance, as we have in Deuteronomy 8 concerning the 40 years in the wilderness of Israel. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God hath led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee, to prove thee, to see what was in thy heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and proved thee. Now, dear friends, has it been so? Has he humbled you? Has he proved you? So you're in the text. Now, this word was spoken well over 2,000 years ago, coming up to 3,000 years perhaps ago, yet still it has a meaning. It still abides. What art thou cast down, O my soul? You know, sometimes you get, you hear things, or it may be to do with the family, and it casts you down. Some have disappointments in their path, and it casts you down. And yet you know the Lord has permitted it. It all comes by the permission of God. I know that is a great deep, dear friends, that you never understand, but it comes, some things come by God's permission. He allows it. And so often these things are one of the things that are working together for your good. As Paul writes, doesn't he, to the Romans in chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good. And that's the difference between a soul, a living soul, and one who doesn't know he has a soul. One who is dead in trespasses and sins, things do not work together for good. He cannot see that. He's blind. This psalmist looks back. Oh, how many years some of us can look back. I don't refer to myself, but as I, in this pulpit, I look over there in the Sunday school when we used to have the shutters down. And all those years ago, what has God wrought? Oh, how many disappointments, how many castings down, how many fears, how many sins, how many mistakes we have made since then. And you know, even that may cast you down, my friend, that you have sinned against God, that you have risen up in rebellion to man, perhaps. You know, some of us know that we have and have had indeed a very rebellious nature. And though that verse of the hymn suits, does it not? Rebellious thou hast been and art rebellious still. But since in love I took thee in, my promise I'll fulfill. We have it in the 31st of Jeremiah, of Ephraim. Oh, my friends, you know what a rebel some of us have been. People don't realize, do they, what we have been? Only you know, and God certainly knows. So the psalmist looks back to former days, and he says, O my God, my soul is cast down within me, therefore I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites, from the hill Mizar. The Spirit of God was his remembrancer. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waters. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And of course, that would often bring us to think of Jonah, because he was disobedient. He did not listen to what the Lord would say. You know, there is a word in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, that there were those that were going down to Egypt for help. And you know, not that you've been to Egypt for help, but in your path you might have gone down to Egypt for help instead of listening to what the Lord's to say. Your strength is to sit still. Maybe that's a word for somebody here this morning who are ready to do this and do that and using your own thoughts, and maybe Satan is behind it. Your strength is to sit still. It's not easy, is it? But it's a very wise counsel, that is. Sit still, my daughter, until thou see how the matter will fall, for the man will not be at rest until he has finished the thing this day. Be still and know that I am God. You know, in that 46th Psalm, like we have here, here we have the repetition of this word, why art thou cast down, O my soul, why art thou disquieted within me? In the 46th Psalm, I think we have the repetition, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So he says, all thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. And that refers very much, doesn't it? Or brings to our mind the case of Jonah, that he tried to flee from the Lord. Perhaps some of you here, you've got a secret in your mind and life that people don't know, that you've turned away from the Lord. The Lord had mercy on Jonah, didn't he? And he's merciful still. And furthermore, he had a purpose of grace toward Jonah and toward Nineveh. The Lord was determined that Jonah would learn a very bitter lesson, but he was also determined that Jonah would have to go and preach to Nineveh, that great city. And he had to, but all thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. I've often thought of this. When the Lord spoke to him the second time to go and preach to Nineveh, that great city, the preaching that I bid thee, that his preaching would have been much deeper than it was at the first. And how God moves in a mysterious way, his wonders to perform. He overruled disobedience of Jonah for his own glory and preached the preaching that I bid. And what did Jonah preach? Salvation is of the Lord. Now, dear friends, that is something we need to learn and will learn. Salvation is of the Lord. As the apostle spoke, I think in Acts, neither is there salvation in any other. And there isn't salvation in any other, for salvation is of the Lord. And how he had to go into those deep waters. But his eye looked up to that throne of grace. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. And dear friend, so by the Spirit you will look again toward that holy temple. The psalmist says, out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Be attentive unto the voice of my cry. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. It can be spiritual, dear friends. It can be providential. It can be in your family, in your health, and whatever. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Lord, be attentive unto the voice of my supplication. And he will. That's the gospel. That would be the type of gospel that Jonah would preach. Salvation is of the Lord. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted? This word disquieted, to my mind, seems to disturb the mind. You know, Satan is ever ready to disturb the mind. Bring back your sins, perhaps. How can you expect God to answer you when you've been such a sinner? And you're a sinner still. How can you expect the Lord to answer you when you're so worldly, so carnal? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Ah, what does it say? Hope thou in God. Neither is there salvation in any other. That was what the apostles preached. We read in Acts. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is of Christ. It's a personal thing. Why is it a personal thing? Because, dear friends, we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. You know, to some people, and I'm not thinking of anybody particularly, you know, religion is perhaps not such a personal thing. It's something that they can do in their spare time, or something that may attract them. I'm not thinking of any, but it can be so. But to a child of God, their religion, their soul, is a personal matter. Because we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What a thought that is. And dear friends, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Because in your mind and thoughts, sometimes you think of death. You think of the grave, you think of eternity. And you know, dear friends, it's not such a doleful thing to think of death as some would. It's a good thing if it's right. You're cast down. How shall I stand the trying hour? What will happen when I cease to breathe? Then that comes to your mind now, then, oh then, eternity. Eternity, tremendous sound to guilty souls, a dreadful word, but oh, and you know this, if Christ and heaven be mine, how sweet the accents, how divine. Oh, to have Christ. What think ye of Christ? That's what Mr. Pearson of Biddenden preached from in this pulpit many years ago on an anniversary service. I can't remember what he said. I do remember the text. And that's another thing that may try you. You can't remember what the minister said, but you can remember the text. What think ye of Christ? Some in those days thought he was a good man and so on, but they didn't know that he was the saviour of the world. What think you of Christ? Ah, Christ is my all and in all. Christ is needful. Christ is precious. And then, dear friends, perhaps, although I may have touched upon this, you find you're so worldly. The things of this world that sometimes you thought you conquered, but still they seem to hold upon you. And you're cast down. Now, when we're cast down like things like this, dear friends, there's only one thing we can do, is to ask the Lord for help. He might be weaned from these things. Because it is dishonouring to the Lord, and you know it. And you wouldn't dishonour the Lord, would you? And perhaps some of you, your dear parents have now gone many years, and perhaps you wouldn't have dishonoured your parents. And yet you may have dishonoured your parents. And that may cast you down. Oh, there are so many things, dear friends, that cast a poor sinner down. And why is it that it cast you down? Why? Well, I said at the outset, I say again, dear friends, that Satan is a cruel foe. If guilt disturb thy mind, if Satan harass thee, behold the Saviour's righteousness that sets the guilty free. It covers so many things. And if you're a living soul, it will cover in your, it will have a meaning in your part. Now he goes on to say them about the waters. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. Now, I take that to be, in a sense, dear friends, the depth of need in your soul, the deep teaching in your soul, calls unto the depths that Christ was in. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspout. The things of God are very deep. The sufferings of Christ are very deep. And dear friends, sometimes in the deeper sufferings of a poor sinner, if they're led to Christ's sufferings, how sweet that is, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Almost seems, doesn't it, dear friends, that he had a disturbed night, or not perhaps just a night, the time of night, but a season when you feel disturbed, you're disquieted. You feel uneasy. And yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. This is a good God, isn't it? This is a gracious God. This is a God that loves his people. This is a God that loves to hear his people's cries. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. Oh, if the Holy Spirit would be our remembrancer, dear friends, when the Lord has done this, over many years perhaps. You see, we cannot remember, but when the Spirit is our remembrancer, as he is, then he will bring to remembrance those former things that he has done. We need the Holy Spirit to be our remembrancer. Take us back, perhaps, to a place, a spot in your life when the dear Lord spoke to you, you believe, when he appeared for you, and when he helped you. But do remember this, dear friends, that the Lord he's not going at our beck and call. He waits to answer prayer. And you find, dear friends, that what you come into, it brings you to prayer. Not just a formal prayer, but it brings you to a deep need of prayer. And that prayer may be very brief, and that prayer may be, Lord, help me. Oh, Lord, I am oppressed, undertake for me. And Mr. L.R. Broom, in his book, he says, brief prayers sink deep. Don't be discouraged, dear friends, if you can't pray as you would. Brief prayers sink deep. How many times, my friend, have you been in your path and your prayer has been this, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. What about Nehemiah? Think upon me, O Lord, for good. I can't remember quite, but he was there, I think. Was it before the king? What was his problem? he had an instantaneous, an instant prayer. Think upon me, O Lord, for God. And the Lord does think upon his people. Do we ever think upon him? He does think upon his people. Why? Because he says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. An end with an expectation. Have these gloomy fears, and you can see things in front of you, as it were, and what's the expectation? That God has his thoughts. And as you know, we read, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. But the Lord has his thoughts. And we believe that his thoughts were from all eternity. Oh, what a humbling matter that is, dear friends, if we can believe that God's thoughts toward us from all eternity. And when you see what you are by nature, and when you may meet people in life, you know, who are very kind and generally speaking very upright. I remember a man in Horsebridge who came from a fairly poor family, but he always was so humble, so diligent, so kind, and you know, dear friends, you almost think, well, I'm not like him. But the Lord knows, doesn't he? And you know, dear friends, you go about and you meet people that are kind, don't you? And respectable, and even some younger people you find are very kind and helpful. That is a wonderful thing if people are kind. But are we kind? If God is kind, I know the thoughts that I think toward. He knows the end from the beginning. Job didn't know, did he? I suppose there was none tried so much as Job. And there was none perhaps exalted so much as Job. What a deep book it is, isn't it? You know, there's one or two things. For instance, this with Job, if you read the 19th chapter, he breaks out, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he does. It is Christ, isn't it? Christ is risen. That's the loving kindness of God. Christ is risen. And also that he suffered, bled and died to take away the sins of his people. I know that at this season the Church of England and other denominations, they make much of Lent. If it's real, well, we cannot. What can we say? But so much of these things can be just a natural thing. My friends, we want to think of the goodness and kindness of God in sending his own dear Son to give his life a sacrifice for many, to suffer, bleed and die upon the cross, and to see his dear people again, as he did with the disciples. He rose again for their justification. He appeared to the disciples. He appeared to Mary Magdalene. And she was very diligent. He waited at the grave when the others had gone. And you know, dear friend, she didn't wait in vain, did she? And nor will you wait in vain. She had that wonderful blessing where she was able to take that message. I've often thought that it was a woman that took a message to the disciples. Jesus said, "Touch me not, but go to my disciples and tell them Christ is risen. Go and tell Peter." That was a word for Peter, wasn't it? If ever there was one was cast down, it was dear Peter, when he was in Satan's sphere. And how cast down he must have been when he went out and wept bitterly. When the Lord Jesus looked upon him, he went out and wept bitterly. Would he ever see the dear Saviour again? So it may be with some of the Lord's people, will I ever see him again? Will he ever speak to me again? Will he ever show me that my sins are put away? Peter didn't he? Go and tell my disciples and Peter that Christ is risen. So why art thou cast down? Why should we be cast down? Christ is risen. And hath appeared to his disciples, and he ascended to heaven, and he will come again. I was thinking recently, I don't suppose many of you remember Miss Madge Stevens, one or two will. And I remember going to visit her in her little cottage up the road, and she was very afflictive. But she said to me, "I believe there will come a day." And she was referring to the 14th chapter of Zechariah, when his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives. And I was also reminded of this, which was very sweet actually, if you don't mind me just saying this before I close, that dear Mr. Sawyer of Mayfield was preaching here, as he used to come once a year to preach here. And Miss Stevens, she felt so humbled as she came to chapel. She felt so down. She felt that she could lie prostrate in the aisle before the Lord. And Mr. Sawyer said in his sermon, "Perhaps there is somebody here that feels they could lie prostrate in the aisle." Well, in the dinner time, she went up, she said, to the graveyard, to the top of the graveyard, and she said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me." And when she came back in the afternoon, Mr. Sawyer said, "Perhaps there has been one here who's gone up to the graveyard and said, 'Bless the Lord, O my soul.'" Oh, what a confirmation that was, wasn't it? What a confirmation. It just come to mind to mention that. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" Perhaps you felt like this morning. A little. It's a good thing to feel like that. You feel so humbled, you feel down, you feel so cast down, you almost feel that you could lay down in the aisle. But oh, to know that resurrection power. Oh, to know that resurrection power. I just want to quote one word before I close, dear friends. And it was a word that I thought that I would take by way of text, which has so often happened to me, but I want to just mention this word. Well, I was... It's chapter 41, verse 10. "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee by the right hand of my righteousness. For I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee." That was the word. "I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I must leave it, friends. May the Lord bless a few words. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. Amen.